with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel is written to us by John. And Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also have loved you. Remain in that love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and your own joy may be complete. This is my commandment, love one another just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants. A servant does not know what his master is doing. I call you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but it was I who chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, and fruit that will last. This is my command, love one another." This is good news from the Lord. Surely what must be a great disappointment to God is that his church, historically down to our own time, became largely known not for what it was for, but for what it was against. It became known not as an inclusive organization, but again and again and again, and as an exclusionary organization. There was always a group that was unworthy, down to our own time. People in second marriages, people who are gay, people who don't believe certain things. We see no evidence for this in the teaching of Jesus whatsoever. And all three readings today make that very clear. In the first reading, and of course you have to read before the text we just have here, but Peter is heading toward Jaffa. He's heard about this pagan man, Cornelius, who is a Roman, therefore their enemy. He has no intention of staying at his place, certainly not baptizing him. There is no record of anybody non-Jewish at this point being baptized. And yet, he has an experience on the way in which God tells him, "I have no favorites." Now, that isn't in the text that you read. It's right before it, in the 10th chapter of Acts. He says, God shows no partiality. He is not interested in race or nationality. Whoever God chooses, God chooses. And so what happens as he comes to Cornelius' house? The Spirit descends on the entire family of Cornelius before he can baptize him. Now, this might seem like an arbitrary symbol, but it shows that God chooses us even when sometimes we do not choose one another. God's election precedes our choice. And so Peter catches up with God and says, "Okay, I guess if God is going to give him the Holy Spirit, then we can baptize him." And we have the first baptism of a pagan and the first moving out of the circle of Christianity, which was supposed to be for all the nations and all peoples and not merely a little tribal religion. Then in the absolutely central second reading, we have this bold, declarative sentence, "God is love." It doesn't say God loves, God sometimes loves. God equals love. It's the same thing. And yet we clergy, decide who we're going to portion out that love to. I still hear of Catholic funerals and weddings where the priest actually gets up and insults half of the crowd by saying, "If you're not Catholic, don't come up." That's an inclusionary religion? Insulting people? And yet we do that. Jesus had no problem with Judas and Peter, who was about to betray him, attending his Last Supper. But we think it's our job to decide who's in and who's out. Does that make you think that you're in? That I'm in? That I'm right and you're wrong? What a silly, silly way of living. It always keeps your ego in charge and your particular nation or group on top when there's no evidence that's true. Recently, my sister she joined Ancestry.com and she sent in our family DNA to find out just who we were. I always thought I was 100% German because both my parents spoke German. Well, I'm only 72% German. Isn't that interesting? And I'm 10% English and 10% Spanish. So I'm related to some of you. I'm sorry it's only 10%, but some little Spaniard got in the family tree. It's all just, you know, who cares? None of us are 100% anything. And yet racism lasts down to our time. One group thinking it's better than another because precisely this gospel was not preached and was not taught. And then the gospel itself sums it all up. This is my commandment, love one another. Now when he says after that, if you obey my commandment, my Father will love you, we all think he's talking about the Ten Commandments. No, his commandment is precisely to love one another. And he says people who do love are capable of receiving love. What goes around comes around. If you give it, you're capable of receiving it. If you don't give it, you're blocked against receiving it. It's almost that simple. Loving people are capable of receiving God's love. You're a conduit. You're a flow. If it flows out of you, it will flow into you. If it doesn't flow out of you, I'm sorry, you're blocked. And you don't know how to receive divine love either. So all three readings are telling Christianity and the church at the very beginning that what we're about is unconditional, inclusive love that does not make distinctions, that does not decide who's in and who's out. He does not say, this is my commandment, believe certain things, does he? He does not say, this is my commandment, go to church on Sunday. Sorry. He says, this is my commandment, love one another. That's the defining element of the Christian religion. And I think we're all sorry to have to admit that it has not defined the Christian religion even to this day. But thank God, people like you are going to be an exception. We're going to stop it right here and right now and live in a new way that includes everybody, accepts everybody, forgives everybody, and recognizes that everybody is equally a child of God.